Eliyahu started speaking last week in Perek Lamed Beis, and what he said was basically like he can't understand how the friends of Eyyub had failed this badly. And not only have they failed, but it seems like Eyyub had convinced them that he was right, that God really isn't in control, and that there's no hashkacha pratis in the world and everything's random and whatever it is, because how could he have been punished? That the worldview of the three friends is wrong, so therefore everything else is gone. Eliyahu was just shocked by that. He can't believe something like that had just happened. And he turns to Eyyub and he says, I'm going to tell you something now, and I'm going to convince you that I'm right. He's going to give three basic arguments. There's going to be a fourth, like, sub-ancillary argument, I guess, that goes through. But three basic arguments that are going to go through. Really, the truth is that each one of these arguments are going to sound like the friends of what they said before, but trump them all with something added to it to make it seem a little bit more real. He's not going to mince any words. He's going to say exactly what he means, which is really exactly what Eyyub needs to hear. Eyyub answered back all the friends. He does not answer back Eliyahu ben Barkael. And we're also going to see that he's pandering to the crowd. There's a crowd that's listening to these speeches. He wants to make sure that they are not convinced by Eyyub's argument that there is no God or that there is no hashkacha. So he's involved in so many ways. Here we go. V'ulam shmana Eyyub miloi. Listen to my words, please, Eyyub. V'chol dvar yazin, and listen to all my words over here. Inina pasachti pi divro loshoni v'chiki. I have opened up my mouth. My tongue is already spoken within my cheek. Yosher libi amorai. My words are going to show straightforwardness. V'das v'asai baru milelu. Right? And all of my lips are going to clearly pronounce what I need to say. It's going to be as clear as day from my lips. I'm going to make sure not to mince any words. These words are going to be clear for me. Ruach el asasni. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's spirit has made me. V'nishmas shaddai techayeni. And the neshama of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, the soul of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the one that gives me life. In tu kol hashiveni, if you're able to, I'd like you to answer me. I want you to answer my question, you know, what I'm going to say. Erech lefanei yisyatzvo. Arrange your arguments before me. Right? And stand them up. Unlike the first three friends, which was like, you're wrong, Eyyub, and we don't want to hear from you, he is inviting him to argue. Eliyahu is saying to Eyyub, listen, if you have an argument, I'd like you to bring it up to me. Tell me what you think about everything I was saying. Behold, I, like your request of God, gamani. I represent God, even though I'm obviously just made of clay itself. But I am going to represent what HaKadosh Baruch Hu would say back to you. You asked God to answer. God is going to answer through me. My arguments are going to be such that it's going to be as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in a hey, mossy, los va'aseka. My fear, right, will not frighten you. My force will not weigh heavily upon you. It's not going to be like your friends who are saying that everything has been terrible and whatever it is. I'm not the person to be able to do such a thing. God, if he would answer you directly, would overwhelm you. You would be overcome with fear. You wouldn't be able to think straight. You wouldn't be able to do anything. That's not going to be. I'm going to give you what God would say, but without the fear involved, without any ama that would be if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was directing. So it's going to be the best thing for you. Ach, amarta baznoi, right? But you have spoken in my ears. The kol milin ishmain, I heard the words that you have said. Zachan libi pasha, this is what you said, Eyyub. I am pure without any sins. Chaf anochi, I am scrubbed clean. The law of only, I don't have any sins. So therefore, why am I being punished? That was the crux of Eo's arguments, right? I haven't done anything wrong, so why do I have that? Hey, behold, tenuos alayimsa, he has found pretexts against me. Yachshaveni lo'oyivlo, I am considered like an enemy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's as if God is treating me as an enemy would. How could God treat me like an enemy? I'm clearly not there. Yosem basadragloi, he has placed my feet into stocks. Yishmor kol chosoi, he guards all of my roads and won't let me out. He's using me as a prisoner, so to speak. Those are your arguments. That's what it says, right? Hainzos lo tzedakta. In this matter that you are speaking, you're not right. It's not that you're not right that you've sinned, which your friends were trying to tell you. It must be you sinned because somebody who hasn't sinned wouldn't be punished. That you haven't sinned. I'm agreeing with you. You haven't sinned. But you know what you're not right about? You're not right about the entire concept. Aneka, let me answer you, ki yirba alo ameyanesh, and show you, because God is greater than man. And my answers are going to show you how much better it is when it comes to this. Now, Eliyahu is saying, he's saying one other thing. In one way, I just don't agree with what you're doing. You're arguing as if God is your equal, as if God can answer you, as if you have one to the other. That's what you were saying. You were saying, if only God was my equal, if only I could hear an answer from God, if only it's like that. You're missing something. Man can ask questions, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not there to answer. This cannot be used as a debate. It can be used as a prayer. It can be used as a request to ask God for something, but you can't use it as a debate. You have kept using this as if he was saying, like, well, God will say something to me and I'm going to say something back to him. You're going into it, Eve, with the wrong attitude. You're going with the attitude of, I'll win if I fight against God. And that is exactly what he said, right? He said, if I would go up against God and I would say something to God, then God would see that I'm 100% correct. He said, the way you're going about this, I don't agree with. That's the way that I don't think. Lo tzedakta, you're not right in that way. You're right, you never sinned. You're not right in the way you're doing it. Madue lav rivos. Why do you act in such a, what's the word over here? In an argumentative fashion, he says to Eve. Ki chol devarav lo yaaneh. Because there's no way he's going to answer all of the words that you have over here. He's saying like this. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the whole world, if it was always, right, the conduct of the world would be illogical or impossible to understand, then you could never have any questions. There's no question out there, right? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu never showed his face, there'd be no basis to ask any questions because nothing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's conduct of the world would ever make any sense whatsoever. But the reason why you have questions, Eov, the reason why you're asking, you're saying, why is this happening to me, is because things do make sense in this world. There are many things that seem to make sense. There's just a few things that you're not understanding. And the way that you're looking at it is you're saying, like, well, I don't understand. God is not making any sense at all. It must be that God's not here. It must be that... No. Hold on, Eve. It does make sense. Just certain things in this world cannot be fully understood, meaning individual little parts can't be understood. So your way of going about this argument of, I'm going to argue on everything that God does, makes no sense. You can't do that. You can ask a question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this seems to make sense, and this seems to make sense, and this seems to make sense. Why does this not make any sense? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I understood how my life was going up until now. I was doing great things, and I was rewarded thusly. That made a lot of sense. But why now am I being punished if I didn't have any sins? That's a great question. But to fight God and say he doesn't make any sense anymore, that's not true. It's clearly evident that people's prayers are answered. People pray and they get answered. That happens all the time. Many, many people have experienced this. Many people have experienced it numerous times. So when one prayer isn't answered, so you can ask, what did I do wrong that one time? But you have to ask it as a question, as opposed to what's going on over here. We have life experience that shows us that things make sense, where we see things happening in that way. And if that's the truth, then you can ask a question, but everything else is like out there. So this is the idea. You have an unreal expectation of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to deal with you, as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to answer all of your problems because there's something. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not answer all of his words. The line is, Ki chol devarav lo yaaneh. All of the things he does, he's not going to answer for. If most of the things make sense and you have a question here and there, great, that's the way the world runs because you're never going to fully understand God. If most of the world didn't make any sense, then you wouldn't have any questions in the first place because you'd know this world is random. This is Eliyahu's brilliant answer. And he tells him, it's got to be, the reason why you're asking is because most of it makes sense. So you have a question here or there. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu never intended for you to understand. The end goal that you're not going to be able to understand over here. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens up his hand, we see a purpose. When Hashem closes his hands, we are not permitted to be revealed, or we don't get the revelation over there. And this is the idea. Ki ba'achas yidaber el, ubishtayim lo yishurena. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will speak once. Ubishtayim, the second time, it might not make sense. You might not be able to see it. You might not get it. But the truth is that most of the time it does make sense, and you'll see it that one time. B'chalom chazion laila, in a vision, a dream at night, a vision of the night, b'nifol tardei malan ashem, when deep slumber comes upon people, b'tnumo salai mishkov, when deep sleep, when he slumbers in his bed, oz yigla ozen an ashem. That's when he uncovers the ears of men, u'b'mosarom yachtom, but then he seals up the musar that he gives them. There's a lot of things that are come out from this pasuk. Chazal learned from this pasuk that there's some type of din that goes on every night when a person goes to sleep. That a person is judged and gets his judgment and knows what's going to be, but then he goes back to earth and he forgets everything. His neshama is not permitted to remember what's happening in Shemayim. But there's something like that. Maybe it's even referring to a nevuah. There are some people with actual nevuah, and this isn't in the time of nevuah. According to almost all the shitos of when Eov lives, it would be at the time when nevuah existed by non-Jews and by Jews, right? Especially if Eliphaz, as we said above, was a Navi, right? We're dealing with nevuah that's out there. There are certain things that you're going to be revealed, but not everything. Certain things are going to be sealed up. Your own suffering, there are times where you won't be able to understand it. Eliyahu is also referring to great people that have existed, especially, again, if Eov was living at the time of these people. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Avram had an unreal life, but there are some things that you could really ask on. Why didn't he have a kid until he was 100? Until, okay, technically 86. Why did that happen? What, do you have any answer after learning Chumash for all the years that we've learned Chumash for? Do we have any answer as to why HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't let him have a kid until the age of 86? And then Yitzchak Avinu at the age of 100? Do we have that answer?
Well, we do.
I'm sorry.
Sarah Zakara, his wife, was barren.
Granted, no, 100%. But and clearly Yishmael that wasn't an impediment. That also, yeah, that's what I'm saying, at 86 and then 100. 86 for Yishmael and 100. But why was that an impediment only until the age of 100? Until the age of 90 by Sarah Neil. Okay, but yeah. We don't have the answer. We can take guesses, right? But we're talking about a great man who did nothing wrong. And he's pointing it out to Eve. And he's saying, don't you see, there are some questions that we cannot answer. And even then, things were not fair. Things happened to Avram Avinu. Why did Sarah Aminu get taken away not once but twice by Paro by Avimelech? Why do you have to fight against the four kings? Why do you have to do these types of things? Again, can you answer these questions? We know they happened. We know that Avram Avinu looked at his life as if it was
really
awesome.
That's not answering his question. He's saying, he's just pointing out other instances of people who have had...
Right there is the answer to his question.
Why?
If most of life is fair and you're only questioning one or two things, that's fine. And you're not supposed to get all the answers.
Yeah, but there's a huge difference between why was Avram not meriting children until 86, and why did Eov have like seven kids die, lose everything?
Hold on. 70 years of Eov's life, he's living an awesome life. And everything was because of his great... So again, right now, I'm not saying like his punishment was not... Because obviously we were not in those punishments and whatever, and he deserved to have these punishments. And he's going to say that. Elio says you're allowed to be mad at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I give you permission. But to answer the question, why is this happening to me? You see that other people are having a good... I'm giving this example, right? Other people took your jobs. When your jobs went down, right, didn't have it, that opened up an opportunity for someone else to become richer. That guy is not complaining about it. He's looking at it and he's like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very fair. I finally got the reward that I deserve. Once Eov's sheep went down and his goats went down, he no longer had those businesses. Some other business ended up gaining from it. Those people are like, oh, finally, I get my due. I finally got my due. Eov was down, and now I go up. So granted, I'm not saying that you deserve to have this. It's a great question. And the amount of Yisurin that you've had is beyond anything that anybody's had. You have a good question. But if you're seeing that the world is fair and there's one thing wrong, that's like Avram Avinu. Look at Avram Avinu's life. Look at Yitzchak Avinu's life. Yeah, he lived an awesome life. Everything was good. Were there issues? There were definitely issues.
Right, you could also, but okay, there's one thing wrong, but it's disproportionate.
I don't say one.
Disproportionate.
That's a great question. That's a great question, but that doesn't mean the world is unfair. That doesn't mean that everything in the world is like that. One thing has gone wrong, and it's by you, and that's why you're feeling it more than anything else. And I can commiserate with you. Yisurin are worse than anything I can ever imagine. But that doesn't make the world unfair or non-hashgachad, without a God there. That's not what it is. That's the argument that Eliyahu is here. Now, this is a differing over here. The friends had postulated before. They had all mentioned that the way God works, it's got to be understood. It's got to be understood. And it makes sense. Good people get good things. Bad people get bad things. Eventually, the bad will die. Eventually, the good will get their good. That was the way that they were understood. They were saying, well, we can understand God's ways. So it makes sense why these things happen. Eliyahu is going the exact opposite way, right? They said, their argument was, since God is just and Eov is suffering, Eov must have sinned. Eliyahu and Barkeel saying, no, you didn't sin. I agree with you. You didn't sin. God is just, but there are certain things that we don't understand. And something over here that's happening over here, I cannot understand, you can't understand. The same way that Avram Avinu, the greatest man of our time, you know, however you want to say it, the greatest man that we know, had tremendous Yisurin and suffering for 100 years until he had his Yitzchak Avinu, or 86 years until he had his Yishmael, you have these tremendous sufferings as well. I am not comparing suffering, I'm not saying one to the other, but there are questions, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not always reveal his face. He doesn't always tell everybody that he says over here. That's the idea. In dreams, maybe you'll get it. In nevuah, maybe you'll get it. Maybe there are ideas. And he says, l'hasir adam maaseh, I guess you can say, he uncovers, at night, he sometimes removes, right, actions from men. The geva migevri yechase, and pride is covered up over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, deterioration begins when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, and this is like a mushel, so to speak, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes his desire for action. When all of a sudden a person becomes lethargic, he doesn't want to do anything, he doesn't want to accomplish anything, he just wants to go about, he loses all of his pride. Then yachsoch nafsho minishachas. What does a Kadosh Baruch Hu do? Kadosh Baruch Hu holds his soul back from being destroyed, from going into the grave. He doesn't want his life to be removed by a weapon. Because there are many times where a person gets a little bit lethargic, goes down a little bit, things are happening really badly for him, and he has these thoughts, suicidal thoughts, these thoughts of death, these thoughts of whatever it is. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds him back, whether from himself or from other people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds him back and allows him to live. And he is given pain on his bed, this person. The rov atzam of a son, and most of his bones, the majority of his bones, are still strong. He has certain things that are going wrong, but most of his bones are strong. Viziyamato chayasol lachem. And it says like this. He says, his life force, his life despises bread, the nafsho machol taiva. And his soul, right, despises all taiva dika foods. He doesn't want to eat. This guy, sitting on his bed in all of his pain with all of his yisurin, yichal b'saru meiroi, his flesh is consumed, the shupu atzmosav, his bones become deteriorated, lo ru'u, until you can't even see them anymore. It's like he's just skin and bones on the bed itself. Vatikar l'shachas nafsho, his soul is ready to die. V'chayos l'mamsim, his soul given over to the killer, his life force to the killer itself. He's losing it. But in this case, this is not Eov. Eov had even worse than this. But the majority of his body is healthy. There's something there that's lasting, but there's a sickness that's really racking with pain. Let's say chas v'shalom yenem machla, cancer, is destroying this guy's body. But at the same time, when cancer is racking through his body with pain, etc., his eyes are working, his ears are working, his nose is working, his mouth is working. He just can't eat, he can't do something, and he's in a tremendous amount of pain. If there is one angel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, a melitz. What's a melitz? Melitz Yosher, we say, an advocate for you. Out of 1,000 that are there that testify destruction, to tell over a person's good thing over there. Let's say he does one mitzvah unbelievably well. He is mekabel Shabbos b'simcha. He has a tremendous amount of love on Shabbos itself and everything like that. And everything is all good. Vayichunenu. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu graces him. Vayomer pata'ehu. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves him, Mirei Shachas, from going down to the grave. Matzasi chayfer. I have found a ransom, a kofer for such a person. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's possible that a dying person can be saved because of one mitzvah. A malach echad mini aleph. Then when there are 1,000 there. Now again, he is not referring to Eov, because Eov did not have the 1,000 malachim saying he was doing evil. That's not what he's saying. But the point of this story is that we cannot fully understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing something. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees a murderer, a thief, whatever it is, but he's got one malach that has done an unbelievable, he's one thing that he's done unbelievably well. He always gave tzedakah. Esav always was mechabid av. The other things that he did, Megali Arayas, Shvichos Dami, Mavodah Zarah, whatever else that Esav did, they were horrible, and they were horrible things, but this one mitzvah could be enough to save him.
Okay, fine. So there's a situation where one person has one mitzvah to save him, but somebody's got 1,000 mitzvahs and one avera, but yet they're not saved.
So we can't fully understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is choosing because of that one mitzvah to save this guy and not send him down to the grave. This is a guy who deserves to be in the grave. He deserves to die. But one mitzvah is enough to be able to save him. So his point is from this mashal is that we have no idea. We can't figure that out. And again, if nothing else made sense, then you're right. We wouldn't look at this as anything more than random. Okay, that's what happens. But if the world makes sense in most cases, and this is what's happening over here, you see like a ransom is being paid. Rutpash. Bisaro, Minoar. All of a sudden his flesh becomes back to his youth. Yashulumi Alumov, it goes back to the way there was when he was younger. Yatar Aloha, he pleads to God. Vayirtzeu, and he accepts him. Vayarpana Bisrua, and he saw God's face among his joys, his calling out. Vayashul Enosh Sikasai, and he returns man back to his righteousness himself. So his line is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can open up one little window for every two that he closes. The concept is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always looking for something. Again, this story is not about Eve. It's showing Hashkacha Pratis, that every person has the ability to do so, and he's adding in a little bit of a dig on Eve. There's one thing that Eve did wrong that we pointed out in the very first parak. The very first parak that Eve had never done this whole time. And Eliyahu says, where did you ever daven to Hashem? Where did you ask Hashem to help you? Did that happen yet? Did you do it? Because if you did it, then I hear you. Then we have a problem.
Well,
what happened?
If he's not Jewish, then...
Nonetheless, prayer is universal. Prayer is universal by everybody, by anything. Mm-hmm. Where is your prayer? And that's his line over here. You give that little dig. Yeter alo avayirtzeyu. Why don't you dive into HaKadosh Baruch
Hu? There's no guarantee.
No. That's not what he's saying. He's saying there's one thing that you haven't tried. You're saying, I don't deserve this, I don't deserve that. And you don't. I agree with you, you don't. I can't understand this, you can't understand this, only God can understand it. But if you davened, have you asked for help? Have you asked for anything? Maybe, he can save you if you do one thing. There's one mitzvah that you have. Eliyahu is telling you that man cannot expect, he cannot understand Hashkacha Pratis in every aspect of life. You won't. one occasion, you won't. When two, you will. And that's the idea that he's saying over here, that the one versus two. The second time, you might not. That's the idea behind it. Again, it goes all the time. Avraham Avinu is told to daven for Sodom and Amorah. All of a sudden, you're told to daven for Sodom and Amorah. Dude, does that make any sense at all?
I mean, he davened. When was he told to daven? He davened on his own.
He goes with to him and initial. He tells it, you're right, but he tells him about Sodom and Amorah. What's the wording of the pasuk?
The
what? Not the mouth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him directly. Hold on, the mouth told him directly.
Yeah, the mouth told him, don't destroy Sodom.
No, that wasn't the wording. It says, Ki Adativ, V'Hashem Amar Machaseni Me'Avram Asher Ani Oseh, should I cover up from Avram? V'Armom Hayu Yeh Gadol V'Atzum V'Nivruch Hu Kol Goy Yaretz, Ki Adativ L'Man Asher Yitzav Ez Ban V'Ez Beso Achor, V'Shamu Derech Hashem Lasso Sarko Mishma, I know what he's going to do with his kids, L'Man Havi Hashem L'Avram Es Asher Divir Alav. V'Yomer Hashem, Zaka Sidom V'Amora Ki Rabba, V'Chatosim Ki Chavdom Od. Erdenova Erat Kisaka Sol Boy Lai, Asu Kalavim Lo Eda'a. I'm going to go down, so to speak. V'Yivnu Mishama Nashim Yochuzdom V'Avramo Denu Omeid, V'Yigashram V'Yomar Ha'af Tispet Sarakim Rasha. So there was some nevuah that Avraham received. It didn't seem to be from the Malachim, but a nevuah that he received that this is going to happen. Maybe he heard those words.
It just seems like it's a dialogue that Hashem says, like, I'm going to destroy these people. They're bad. So Avraham's like, why are you destroying them?
Exactly. Why would a Kadosh Baruch Hu want, and again, should I hide it from Avraham? I want him to daven. Avraham Avinu davens.
I mean, that's the whole point, the whole reason Hashem told him to begin with.
100%. And Avraham davens, and what happens?
Nothing.
Says no.
It's the most unbelievable thing. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that? We wasted 12 psukim on
this. You want to know why I think he did it? And please. I think this is a very important lesson.
Wait, but hold on. But you get the concept. The concept is, and what Rav Schwab is bringing up over here is, that sometimes we're not going to have the answer to the questions. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do certain things, and sometimes it's going to make no sense to us whatsoever. What's the actual answer? Who knows? Maybe it was for the future. Maybe it was to save Tsoar. Maybe it was to save Lot. Who knows? But it doesn't matter. We're not going to have the answer.
This is just a very valuable lesson. That if Avram could pray for the people of Sodom, who not only were
evil
going, they were evil people, then we shouldn't look at people who aren't like us, you know, as being different.
I totally agree. If Avram would have been listened to, then we would say, like, oh, see, we should daven and it works. Here we're learning, daven for them. It won't work, but might as well.
No,
that's the problem with this lesson. I totally agree with you. I don't argue with you whatsoever. But I get it. But the point is that we won't always have the answers. That's what he's trying to get out of this. That's the idea behind it. It's so hard.
At the very least.
It's just so hard. How can I not? Yes.
I mean, it seemed like the way of his feel was trying to find his cults, right? Because he's going on about how, oh, maybe there's this many tzaddikim, whatever. And all he's looking for is that close that he can really use to try and get Hashem.
Who, HaKadosh Baruch Hu or Avram?
Avram is trying.
But what's the point of HaKadosh Baruch Hu asking him to do it?
I hear. Maybe if
it was
setup. He wouldn't have given up at oh, there isn't even one tzaddik there or whatever.
But you're right. I hear you. So you're saying like he should have gone even further?
Maybe he should have gone.
Was at fault.
Maybe he needed a little more. I'm just saying, I don't
know.
Now
I hear what you're saying. It's very well could.
It doesn't necessarily mean that a person, that his feels wouldn't have been answered.
Okay, I hear you. But the point of what I'm trying to bring up over here is that we have a situation which makes absolutely no sense. No sense to us. We look at it and we're like, why is this in the Torah? Why is it even there? Avraham Avinu failed. Why are we putting that in here? It must be there is something behind it, and we just don't get it. And that's the point over here. For every window that is closed, there's another window that opens. For every two windows that are open, there's one window that's closed. For every two windows that are closed, there's one window that's open. The point is that sometimes we'll get it, and sometimes we won't, and that's what he's trying to say. Yashrol Anashim. He looks at people straight. Vayomar Chatosi. And he says, I have sinned, so to speak. And the person that, I guess, that was sick over here, we're still talking to this guy over here. Yashar Havesi, right? I've made things that are crooked straight, below shovely, and it wasn't worth it to me. Meaning this guy, maybe he really wanted this person to do tshuva. The 1,000 things that he did wrong, one mitzvah that he got, allowed him to be able to do tshuva. He shouted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He sees the guy all of a sudden agreeing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha, agreeing, Pada nafsho me'avar b'shachas, and therefore he redeems his life from going down to the pit, v'chayasa b'or tireh, and his life will then see the light. Now what's going to happen? God does this all the time, pamayim shaloshim gavar, 2-3 times with man. I'm giving you an extreme case where the guy was about to die. It doesn't have to be an extreme case. A person gets into a chas v'shalom, a car accident. It doesn't even threaten his life, but he gets into a car accident. That already, the guy thinks to himself, what did I do wrong? And he sits there and he thinks to himself, I did do something wrong. And for one schus that he was supposed to die in that car accident. But a Kadosh Baruch Hu allowed him to be saved because of one schus, and the guy ends up growing from it. That's possible, what's happening over here. Maybe you only see this 1 or 2-3 times during your lifetime. Maybe. But Eliyahu is saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha Pratis is quite often seen without a doubt. And if you see it even once, that proves that there is Hashkacha Pratis, and you just have a question now. You just have a question. It's a great question. Not always are we going to be able to answer that question. That's the idea. Leshiv Nafsho Minishachas. He brought his soul back from death. Leor Ba'orachayim. To get enlightened with the light of life. Hakshiv Yu. Shmaliyah. Pay attention to you. Listen to me. Hachareish Vanuchi Adaber. Please be quiet when I'm speaking. Now again, he said already up above that he was different from the friends. That Eov was allowed to argue. But here he says, you got to let me finish my sentence before I go through. I want you to argue, and I want you to come up with an argument. We are going to point out in the end, Eov does not argue. Eov does not argue. Probably what we see right now is that Eov wanted to interject right now with a problem. He's like, no, because he said, just wait a second. Let me go through. Let me finish up what I'm saying right now. I'm telling you that it's going to make sense. Imesh milin heshiveni. If you really have words to tell me right now, then answer me right now. Daber, speak. Ki chavatzi tzadkecha. Because I want you to be righteous. I want you to do better over here. Im ayin atashmali. But if you don't really have an answer over here, then please just listen. Hachareish, be silent. Va'elfecha chachman. I'll tell you the wisdom that I feel that I've been granted. Eov is silent. In the end, Eov did want to interject. He wanted to say something, but he realized he didn't have good enough line to be able to see. That's the idea behind it. So he says, on Rav Schwab said over here, in any conversation, we've learned this a little bit before, you have to listen carefully to what the other person is saying in order to convey what you want to convey. It could be that you're misunderstanding or mishearing what that person is saying and going through. It's possible that it happened. He brings an unbelievable thing over here about Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Everybody knows the story of Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara Bava Metzia when Rabbi Yochanan, right, spoke to Reish Lakish. They were talking together. Reish Lakish, obviously, he made Reish Lakish into the person that he was, into the great tzaddik that he was. And they got into an argument about when the final, you know, act makes a sword into a sword. When is a sword a sword? At what point? So, I mean, simply put, right, you hammer the metal and whatever it is, right, and then you put it inside the fire, right, and then you put it inside cold water to harden the metal. Is the sword a sword when you pull it out of the fire, or is the sword a sword only after you put it into the cool water to harden the metal and to make it much, much harder? Which one is it exactly? Reish Lakish held only after the water, Rabbi Yochanan said inside there, and Rabbi Yochanan said a line to Reish Lakish and said, you would know you were the robber. Now, the way I just said it sounds horrible. It sounds like Rabbi Yochanan is making fun of Reish Lakish, right? And that's how Reish Lakish understood it. Rabbi Yochanan meant to say, well, I guess you would know better because you were involved in this type of thing before. It makes sense that you would know what the real sword is. He wasn't making fun of him. He was saying it as it was. So Reish Lakish answered back with impunity to his Rebbe. He said, well, yeah, but what difference does it make? I was an awesome guy then. I'm an awesome guy now. Like, I'm the leader then. I'm a leader now. So Rabbi Yochanan looked at him. He's like, how could you have just said that? Now, what did Reish Lakish mean? Reish Lakish also didn't mean it in that way, knocking down his Rebbe. He's just like, listen, I knew. He thought Rabbi Yochanan was arguing with him. And he said, well, wait, I mean, I knew what I was doing back then. I know what I'm doing now. I'm telling you, this is the halacha. He wasn't trying to be mean. But Rabbi Yochanan misunderstood him that time. So Reish Lakish misunderstood Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan then misunderstood Reish Lakish and thought he was saying, well, you didn't do anything for me. He's like, what do you mean I didn't do anything for you? He got so upset. He couldn't believe it. He's like, I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for whatever reason, felt that was enough to make Reish Lakish sick. And when Reish Lakish's wife, Rabbi Yochanan's sister, came to him and said, daven for him, Rabbi Yochanan said, I can't daven for him. And maybe he honestly meant it. Maybe he said, I really can't do it. Says Rav Schwab, this is the idea behind it. Listening and paying close attention. If they would have paid close attention to who they were, to what they were saying, what the other person was saying, there would never have been an issue. Rabbi Yochanan would have never gotten mad at Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish never would have gotten mad at Rabbi Yochanan. They weren't speaking in riddles. They were speaking in normal lines. I was giving the tone as if they were saying it in a bad way. But that's not what they meant. That's not what they were referring to over here. Eov's friends tried to overwhelm him with speeches. So like, you should have done this, you should have done that. There was all there. And saying, they never allowed him to interrupt him, whatever it is. Eliyahu was saying, listen, I want you to think about this. If you feel like you need to interrupt me now, interrupt me. If you feel you got to say something, tell me. I'll clarify any objection that you have. But you tell me, think it through. Do you have an objection to what I just said? Eov thought about it and said, no, I don't. So then he started up again. Vayan Eliyahu Vayomar. So Eliyahu started his second speech. His second speech, and he said the following. This is in Perek Lamed Dalet. Shimu Chacham Miloy. Here, listen, wise men, all of my words. Now, again, he's referring to the people in the crowd. There are many, many people in the crowd over here that are hearing all of this. The audience that's around. V'yodim azinu li. Those who are knowledgeable, I want you to pay attention to me. Ki ozen milin tivchon. The ear listens to words, right? It tests the words that are here. And the palate should taste these things and tell me if it tastes good to eat. Mishpat nivra lanu, right? We are going to choose justice for ourselves. And let's know between us what is the best idea. What are the real ideas we want to pick? Amr Iyuv Tzedakti. Iyuv said, as we said before, I'm right. The El Hasir Mishpati, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed my judgment and he's not judging me fairly. That was the line of Eov. That's how Eov feels. He feels that, again, the first argument of Eov was, this is not fair, I never sinned. Okay, so I think I answered that up. You have a question, but the main point of the world still exists. So that's a question, and I can't answer all your questions. Now there's a second line of Eov. Eov said, I'm right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed my judgment, Al Mishpati Achazev, right, he said, Mishpati Achazev, I am upset about the judgment God gave me. Anush Chitzi Bili Pasha. My arrow is fatal without any crime. Okay, so he said, Mi Gever Ki Iyuv. Who is as strong as Iyuv himself? Okay, he says, Mi Gever Ki Iyuv. Who is as strong as Iyuv? Yishta Lag Kamayim. And will drink these wormwood like he does water. Has anybody ever seen the amount of pain that Iyuv's in right now? He's again, admitting, your pain is not like anything I've ever seen.
Wormwood
is lag. Yeah, that's what they normally describe it as, right?
It's not a thing. It's a...
Something bitter.
No, lag is like scorn.
Yeah, 100%.
That's how it translates, but that's...
Wormwood. It's like a bitterness. There's a bitterness there. You know, like, who would taste this?
The ug to someone is to scorn someone.
Yeah. The orach lechevra, right? The orach lechevra in Poel Yavin. It leads on the path of people that do sins. To people that go in the wrong way. So we're seeing... Do you see what Eov's going through over here? Forget about everything else. Do you realize how much scorn and ridicule people have had on him? He was suffering emotionally. People were making fun of him in the street, right? He was the butt of jokes of everybody. Who in the world would I be treated this way? It seems like he's all of a sudden Rashi. Omar.
Was he in kindergarten? I mean, who's making fun of somebody who... I don't understand.
We said before that Eov was saying, as I walk in the street, people don't want to look at him. Now, we don't know for sure, but if his illness was this serious... where he looked disgusting. According to one opinion, his wife left him. According to another opinion, I shouldn't even say another opinion. Other things that we said was, he said that every time I walk in the street, little children would throw rocks at him because they considered him a freak. People that used to be his friends couldn't look at him anymore. That's how bad it was. So Eve was not only taking the scorn of people, he was taking the scorn of like people in the street, people were throwing things at him. Like he was a leper in the middle of nowhere. And the answer is, I mean, at the end of the day, lots of lepers are treated this way. People that look ugly or that have some type of a defect, a birth defect, right? They're made fun of. So yes, usually children, but unfortunately it happens by adults as well. We see it quite often. So the line is, Ki Omar lo yisgan gaver, right? He said, man is not protected. Bertzosim Elohim, even when he does what God wants him to do. That was Eo's line. Like, obviously, I've done what God wanted, and it still didn't happen. L'chein, anshe levav shimuli. So therefore, people of heart, I want you to listen to me. Chalila el mi rasha v'shadim me'avel. Chalila, that God would do such a thing. That he'd do such evil and have such evil in his heart. That he'd allow people who listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and do whatever it is, right, be around there. Now again, I started off with my first line. There is a God. Most things are fair. There are some things that are unfair. Okay? Now, it doesn't make any sense that such a person would be allowed to have such scorn. Right? And there's something wrong over here. People are definitely treated differently by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but there's something that we have to look at. Ki Paul Adam Yishalom Lo. Obviously, whatever people do, they get paid back to him. Ka'orach Yisham Tzienu. The ways of man, obviously, will find him at the end of the day. Right? What he's saying, though, is something different. Up until now, the friends were saying, if you're good, you'll get good. If you're bad, you'll get bad. This line is a little bit different. There's a little bit of a nuance difference over here. Not what's good for one person may not be good for someone else. If a person here, I would just ask from anybody, everybody over here, would anybody trade their lives for somebody else's? Would you want somebody else's life? I mean, I am the luckiest person in the world that my wife decided she was going to marry me. But nobody else would feel that way. Everybody would say like, well, yeah, for you, that was a good thing, but not for everybody else. What he's saying is that what everybody needs for themselves, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them. And that's so different by every single person. Eov, you're looking at things and you're saying, well, it should be fair for everybody, or everybody should get the same. It's impossible. Not everybody is the same. What one person wants is not what the other person wants.
That's not what Eov was saying. Eov was concerned about what he had and not what anybody else had and what he lost. It wasn't like I had X amount, now I have nothing, and that guy has X amount, why shouldn't I have X amount like he does?
He did say that. But so why is that Russia becoming a tzaddik? He was using that as one of his arguments.
The whole point of his position is like, it's about what he lost. It's not what anybody else has.
If that was it, then I would agree with you wholeheartedly. I don't think that was it, because he was mentioning other people.
Yeah, but
he was saying about what was happening.
Mentioning other people wasn't like, oh, I'm jealous of that guy. It was more of, that guy's a bad person. He gets it. And what, I'm worse than that guy?
Okay. Either way, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what Eliyahu is saying, you know, in the line of HaKadosh Baruch Hu now, what he's trying to say is that, listen, it's possible that what's good for everybody else is not something that you'd want in the first place. What happens to those people is not something that you would have. You're saying you got it worse than that guy. First of all, you have no idea. You have absolutely no idea. That guy emotionally, physically, everything that he has, you have absolutely no idea. Maybe, and again, I'm not judging, whatever, Eov's Yisurin for him may not have been as bad as other people had it. At the end of the day, Eov never committed suicide. There are many people in our world who cannot handle the pain they have and they commit suicide. Now, you could say, well, they were weak. Can you really judge a person and how weak they were? Maybe he mamish. It was worse than what Eov had. Worse.
Right, but you could also say that, and again, not saying that one is weaker than the other. I'm saying if you're looking at Eov, I mean, he was strong enough not to commit suicide, but we see that he was
in a lot of pain. So what he's starting off with is people are very, very different. And you can't expect everything to go the way that you expect the world to work. So he says, "Af amnam elo yershia." HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not doing evil here. V'shadi lo yavis misha. Hashem is not messing up your judgment. Your line that Hashem messes up judgment, not true. Mi pocket alav arza. Who appoints it to the earth? Mi sum table kula. Who's the one that puts down the earth in the first place? Im yasim elav libo. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to put his heart against them, if he really wanted to destroy you, right? V'nishmasu elav yasof. He would have gathered in his spirit and just taken you for yourself. Death would be the easiest way to take you out of this world and to be able to destroy you and not have you whatsoever. The worst punishment is kares, not your yisurin that you have right now. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu was really out to get you, there are other things he could have done. Yigva kol baser, as well. I mean, he would die, as does every person. Yochat, together with everyone else, v'adam alaf yashuv, and he would return to this dust. The imbina shemazos, if there's deep understanding here, if you really want to understand me, he said, azina l'kol miloi, listen to what I'm saying. Ha'af soni mishpat yachavosh. Even if one who hates judgment would be the one bandaging, if God really hates judgment the way you're saying it, he does not like judgment, he's not judging me fairly, if you really think that he's the one in charge, in tzaddik kabir tarshia, if you're going to accuse the mighty righteous one of being evil, ha'amor lamelech b'liyal, would you say of a king, scoundrel, rashal nedivim, that he's wicked toward his nobles, asher lonas apnei sarim, somebody who's not working with his princes, will nikar shoa, and does not recognize the rich person with nedal in front of the poor person, kimasi adav kulam, because they're all the work of his hands. In other words, again, he's just saying, a real king would never, ever do such a thing and make it unfair for one person or every person out there. It's got to be fair to everyone, but he's got to have everyone involved. It's massively involved over here. His line is, there's so much worse punishments that you could have had. He's saying, I don't think this is truly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's something else at work here, and here he hints to something else. He hints to the concept of the Satan. Now, what does the Satan mean? People are of the mistaken notion that the Satan fights against God. What is it, Dante's Inferno? What you see is it's almost as if like there's two opposites. There's God and then the anti-God, the anti-everything, where there's the Satan up against everything. It's not that. He says to Eov, I'm going to say this in veiled language. I'm not going to say it straight out that there's such a thing as a Satan. But I'm pretty sure there's something else going on here other than what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had. The Satan is doing something here, and he wanted to knock you down. And you had an ability, you had a chance to grow out of this whatever and pass your nisayon to become greater. And you didn't. And it didn't happen. Avraham Avinu had the Akedah, and you have these Yisurin. I'm not, again, no comparison. Avraham on his level had the Akedah, you have this over here. But there's something wrong over here. Again,
wait a second. Yeah. Isn't that the equivalent of his friend saying you did something wrong and therefore you're being punished?
Mm-mm. No, he's saying you didn't do anything wrong. But don't you understand the concept of what a test could be? Do you realize this isn't God? This is the Satan, and it's an opportunity for growth. and you didn't take the opportunity for growth. I'm not blaming you.
Right, so
I'm not
you
saying
did
you would
something
have been,
you missed your test, therefore...
But you didn't do anything wrong.
Well,
it's not anything wrong.
You just didn't pass your permission. Test yet.
That's 100% true. There was no question that Hashem had to, because Hashem knew that
you
could have passed.
It didn't sound like you failed at this
didn't.
Point.
It could
sounds
have.
Like you're just not doing it.
I don't think it's veiled criticism. I don't think there's criticism here. I don't think it's good. He's just bringing up another point. You're saying that the judgment is not fair. I think the judgment is fair, right? But you're not recognizing who's doing what over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to hold you back from dying and holding you back. And that's what Hashem said to the Sultan, don't kill him. At the same time, you have an opportunity for growth that you're not taking over here. So again, the line is like this, and the mashal is like this. If there were a king who was unfailingly fair toward the people, never favoring his princes or the rich over the poor, because they're all his subjects and they deserve equal treatment, but that very same king is unusually harsh to one citizen, a very great man, but he's fair to everybody else out there. Would you call that man, would you call that king a scoundrel? Would you say that that king is a Russia? No, you'd say there's something up. There's something going on here. Why in the world is that happening to that one man? And that's what you would do. But it doesn't make any sense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made everybody. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to be fair with everybody. There's something going on here. There has to be a reason that he allowed the Sultan to do this. I'm not saying I have an answer as to why you over anybody else. I would assume it's because you're a very, very great man. But the idea is that there's an ocean of God's goodness in this world. There's Hashkacha Pratis everywhere, and he's fair to almost all these people, but there's one thing that just doesn't make any sense. Would you say that that king is evil? Is evil when it comes to over here? And remember, he's keeping you alive. He could have done a lot worse, because he has the ability to do whatever he wants to you. Why did he keep you alive? Why are you still here right now? Rega Yamusu, they die in a second. V'chatzos Laila Yigoashu Am. Right? In the middle of the night, the people move around, the Avoru, and they go from place to place. They pass over. So they had removed the power without a hand whatsoever. And the line is like this. They, the princes, died in an instant. In the middle of the night, when they died, the people, their subjects, immediately switched their allegiance to another ruler. All of a sudden, everybody dies in the kingdom, whatever, something happens. A quiet revolution happened all of a sudden just like that. And this happens all the time. Either because of riches or power or something like that, whatever happens over here, people can lose everything all at once. It can happen all at once. And this happens all the time. There has to be a reason. If everything else is there, what is going on over here? There has to be a reason, and we just don't get it. And he says, Ki eina v'aldarcha ish. God's eyes are upon every person and what they do, and he sees every single one of their steps. In Choshech Vein Tzalmav, there is no darkness nor the shadow of death by God, in which people that are doing sins can hide. But he will not put upon a person anything more, right, for which he would go to God in judgment and say, what did you do this to me for? What did you do all this to me? That's not the way God will work. Yoroa Kabirim. He can break powerful people, lo cheker, and we don't understand why. And he can put other people in their place. Now let's think from the other point of view. We keep thinking from Eov's point of view, why did this happen to Eov? And I mentioned this a little bit before. What about the other people? Other people became very rich because Eov went down. So what about them? Like, is that, if Eov goes up again, they're going to lose it.
Yeah, but you could also say Hashem could always arrange it so that, you know, there'll be enough to go around for everybody.
Not in the natural way of the world, but you're right.
The natural way of the
if
world.
You go supernatural, then yes.
No, not even supernatural.
Can make everyone rich.
Not supernatural. Not everyone. I'm saying those people who were affected positively by Eov's laws. Mm-hmm. Who's saying that those people would have to become poor just for Eov to become rich again?
Right. It's not automatic.
It's not.
Agreed.
It's not
Let's go the other way though. But in order for them to become rich, it could be that the natural way for that to happen is for Eov to get out of the way.
But there's there are some people. There's a million different natural things that could happen so that they'll, you know, they'll find a different job and be like, oh wow, I'm sick of this industry. I'm going to go into that industry. I mean, there's
okay.
There's
but
an infinite amount of permutations.
If somebody is just like Eov in his, you know, the way that he does business and everything like that, it's like sort of like having, you know, you have one great basketball player on the team and you have another great basketball, but that second basketball player is sort of like subservient to whatever that first basketball player wants to do. He just can't find his way because the first basketball player is the one leading the team
so
and making sure everything goes by him.
Celtics and then you're good.
That's exactly it. So that guy cannot find his way as long as Eov is around.
No, but
he can't do it.
Right, but he could because I mean there are ways for you know I don't.
But not if I again we're talking in mushels, but like if that person is an Eov minus one, there is no other business he can get into. His business is this. He can't do anything else. That's his mindset, or how HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him.
That's his mindset. But
God, no, that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him.
God made him that way. But God could make it also in a way that...
No. But it's already... Meaning, the way of the world is already there. There's another guy. There's a restaurateur, and there's another guy who's next in line to become the top chef in that restaurant. There's no way he's going to become the top chef unless that top chef goes down.
But he could open
it's not going to happen.
You can get it hired by a different restaurant.
There's only one restaurant there, then that's there. No, I hear you. I definitely hear you. But meaning, what I'm trying to say is that there are some people. Can it happen? Yes. But in the natural way that the world works, it seems like there's somebody who needs you to be down.
No, yeah, but I don't know if maybe the Torah does tell us there always needs to be people who are right. Those mm-hmm. people who are, but... You know, if we're talking about a limited amount of people here, I don't think it's necessary that, you know, one person up, one person's down. It's a one-to-one. It's the ratio between Eov and his...
It's just not one. It could be thousands of other people.
Right. And I don't think that necessarily they have to be adversely affected because Eov is positively affected.
I'm going the opposite way. When Eov is negatively affected, they're
right.
Positively
so they were
affected.
Negative, so they were positive, but who says that they have to go down once Eov goes
okay,
down?
Okay, no. That, you're,
why
maybe
why
that,
are their fortunes tied
wrong.
To one another?
I definitely hear you. Maybe they're not. But what somebody is affected. That money that's in the system, right? The money that's already in the system is now going to go to Eov, which means somebody else is not getting it.
The Federal Reserve will release more money to the banks, and then there'll be more money created.
But that's going to mean that all the money goes down in value because there's more money in the system. You know what I'm saying? If you release more money, more than what you expected, in order for there to be more money available, that means the value goes down.
The bottom line is,
how is this supposed to make Eov feel better? What?
How is this supposed to make
Eov? We're not. He's explaining to Eov how he thinks the world works. He's saying to Eov, and he says, listen, there are sometimes, and I guess the idea is that Hashgacha Pratis is there, but there are people that change like that. And if everything he does, and there's one person that he gets angry at, you can't be angry. You can't be angry because there is a plan over here. And everyone is involved. If every single person has to be accounted for, what are you going to do? One person at some point is going to go down. I'm not saying that's fair. But this is the way that it is in this world. And for whatever reason, you know what, Benjamin, let me give, I'm going to add it on to our first thing. Could HaKadosh Baruch Hu do the yes? But he doesn't. Why? We don't know. And that's where we go to the first thing.
He doesn't.
What?
Who says that he doesn't?
That
he doesn't help everybody out.
Of course he helps everybody out.
No, but I'm saying...
According to what they have.
You said...
Why doesn't
HaKadosh
Baruch Hu add on the money in order to make, make a fair system where everybody can get exactly what they have? Yes, but we don't know why. And maybe that's where he hints to the Satan over here. There's a reason why we're not Hashem is not allowing that good stuff to happen to you. The stuff that you deserve. The stuff that you're going to get when you go to Olam Haba. There's a reason. That's where the Satan comes into play. There's something here. Lachin, Yakar Mabadeim. God recognizes everything they do. V'hafach Laila v'yidaku. He turns into night, and all of a sudden they become crushed. He recognizes something. There's something there. Takas Rashayim Svakam Bimkom Roim. Because sometimes it's because they're wicked people. So he smites them in a place in front of other people. Asher Alkein Soro Me'acharav. Because they turned away from following him. Behold Ruach of Louis Skil, and they didn't want to pay attention to what God does or what he's all about. Lavil of Tzakas Dal. Maybe he brings upon him, upon that guy, the cries of the poor. He said he can hear the other poor people there, but Yashkit, right? And he's silent. In other words, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mi'arshia. Who can say that it was for evil? The Aster Panim, when Hashem does Hester Panim, Mi'yishu Renu. Who's going to say, let's straighten God? Balgoi Ba'aldam Yachad. Because there are nations and people together that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to make plans for. And that's there's so many people involved, there's so many factors involved. Mimloch Adam Chanef Mimokshe Am. By not preventing the reign of a hypocritical man from the people that would be there, that would be the stumbling blocks of other people. There's so many things that would have to happen to keep such a guy out. It's so out there. Ki el el he'amar nasasi loach bo. Because regarding God, let it be said, okay, I can bear it. I'll bear whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me. I'm not going to do any harm from it. So the idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, let it be. What is the line over here that I wanted to get? Eliyahu's point is that both Eov and his friends are wrong because they presume the man is going to understand world management. You cannot understand world management. There's too many factors involved. There's no way you can take every single person and every single thing into account, but God is. And if God is taking every single person and every single thing into account in order to make the world run the way that it's supposed to, then yes, sometimes they're going to seem unfair to you. Things are going to look really bad to you. But daring to demand justice from God for you, No, that's not right. Kadosh Baruch Hu has all these other things in mind. There's so many other things over here, there's no way to get involved.
The way you said it now makes more sense than the way you said it before.
Okay. Well, what do you think the difference was?
No, the difference was that when one goes up, one necessarily has to go down. This is where, no, there's a lot of different calculations that be taken into account. And you're looking at it a very narrow scope, meaning from your own limited view, but there's a much
more there you go. Macro. Okay, so that's what I was trying to say. And what I meant by that is that at some point a person has to go down from what they have in order for the rest of the world to go through. Sometimes you're going to have to suffer for everything else that's out there. But yes,
But it also has to make sense on the individual, meaning...
Yes.
No, why?
Because...
Not to him. It has to make sense to God.
Right, that's what I meant.
Okay, I thought he meant.
I'm saying that it has to be, there has to be, it can be like, well, we're going to sacrifice him for the greater good. God doesn't do that without having a reason to curse him.
Just in this kind of an instance, just because we know what's actually going on behind the scenes, although there is justice to the people around Eov, but to Eov specifically, this whole situation wasn't to be just in a way that he had what was coming to him.
In that way, it wasn't just. But there was a justice.
And that it gave him an opportunity of growing.
Right, but what our point is, it might not be, maybe the way you're saying it is like this. There's no micro justice here, but there's macro justice. Macro justice, the world is still just. Even though it seems like to you, you are being messed over.
Well, us knowing what we know, Eov is sort of getting messed over.
Okay.
But that's
the
other point that he made before about a person having an opportunity for a lot more growth if he just handles it properly.
Yeah.
And in that way, it's just as well.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%. And then he says, Bilade, right? I can't figure this out, said Eliyahu. Echza ato horeini. I can see, but you have to teach me. Imavel pa'alti lo osif. If I've done evil, I won't do any more. If I've said something that's overstepped my bounds, says Eliyahu, then I'm sorry. Right, I didn't realize, but do you see what I'm trying to say with all this? Right, is he going to really take it away from you? That which you reject or that which you chose. Right, what do you know? Speak up, Eov. What do you think about all this? He's like saying to him right over here, he's saying, you're an individual, right? What do you think when it comes to all this stuff? Because clearly I'm not going to know everything. Is there something you want to add to this argument or you want to take away from this argument by saying something wrong? Anshei Levav, people of heart over here, you don't really tell me. V'gevur chacham shomeli, smart men, listen to me. Eov lo bedasi daber. I don't think Eov is speaking with understanding. I don't blame him. He's under a tremendous amount of duress. Devarav lo bahaskil. I don't think that the words he set up above were wise. Avi yibachein. I guess I don't know what the wording is. Avi yibachein Eov ad netzach. What's the word avi? How do you guys have that translated? I have over here, I wish. Like, I desire. Does that make any sense? I desire. From the word ava, lo ava yibmi, my yavam does not desire. Interesting. Avi, I wish, yibachin Eov ad netzach, that Eov would be tested forever, al teshuvas ba'anshe oven, for answers befitting the ones that are, whatever, I hope. And it's saying like this, I think that you should be out here, you should be, I wish you could finally conquest, it would be like a conquest. You'd figure it out and you'd realize it, and all of a sudden you do tshuva. And that would show the Anshi Oven what's there. Ki Yosef HaChatasu Pasha. But right now, he's adding sins to his to whatever he's done wrong. Beinenu Yi spoke. Between us, he's casted doubts. The Yerav Amar of La'el. He's multiplied his words against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that I don't like. I don't like the fact that he did that. I don't think that's good.
Wait, what's he, I still understand. He's wishing that Yo will be tested forever? Meaning he wants Yo to continue receiving.
Until he gets it. I want him to go through this type of, these problems and things like that until he finally gets it on his own. It's one thing if, like, other people are like, nah, he should have done this, he should have done that. If Eov himself would get it, it would be a crazy lesson that everybody could learn from. I went through it, I understood it, and then he becomes better. And Eov tells people later on, look at what I went through, and look at me now. If you would get this on your own, Eov, if you would understand this and take this to heart and it would happen, you would be a living monument, which he is, to how to accept pain and suffering in this world. And literally, Eliyahu is speaking almost like with Nevuah. That is what Sefer Iyov is, because Iyov did get it and does do tshuva and davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and all of a sudden everything becomes better. He gets double the amount of what he had before. It's an amazing line, but he says, I wish you would get it on you. I wish you would understand this and hear what I'm trying to say over here. That's that. Okay, either way, but that's his line over here. Now, one of the things
over here... Avi Bachin, meaning Avi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Abba Kol, it's from Lashon Abba. Meaning Avi Bachin Iyov, God, meaning my father Hashem, will
test Iyov forever. Oh, that's interesting. How does the Targum say it? What does Targum say?
Saveina di Bechara, which... Savina is next.
Sadi Vavyud?
No, that year.
Well, oh, so it's desire. That's desire. Savina. Yeah, I hope.
Desire is it? Either way, it's Hashem. Hashem wants...
Well, for sure. It's just a question of whether you're referring to God or... Yeah, the same basic idea is there. I don't think there's a difference over here. All right, now this is going to be the third speech altogether. There's going to be a fourth added speech, but again, that's going to be sort of like an added. This is going to be, again, against what the friends were saying over here. I don't know if we'll be able to finish it, but right, we'll start it at least. It's a short parak, but Vayan Eliyahu Vayomar. So Eliyahu again spoke up and he said, Hazos Choshavta L'Mishpat, is this your real judgment? Amarta Tzid Kimiel, you said up above that my tzidkus, that I'm more of a tzaddik than God is, that you think you're more of a tzaddik. He somer ma'iskan loch, when you said, how will it benefit you? Ma'ol me'chatasi, what have I accomplished by avoiding sin? In other words, I never sinned in my life, said Iyov, right? Did that help me? Look at me now. Look what it is. I might as well have sinned. I might as well live the life of sin. Right, because what point is it? Because look at me now. I'm going to answer with meaning, with words, along with your friends with you, because your friends give you horrible answers for this. So again, what was Eov's problem? His problem is like, what's the point in being righteous if you're just going to be punished anyway? I might as well sin and have a good life here. What's the point? He says, I want you to look up to the heavens and I want you to see. Right? Look up at the skies, Gavu Mecca, they're higher than you. If you commit a sin, do you really think you're going to affect God? Does that affect God at all, in any which way? If you add on to your sins, what are you possibly doing to him? In other words, do you think it's going to affect him in any way? Do you think the cosmos are so huge? Do you really think that your sins are affecting a Kadosh Baruch Hu in any way? Can you affect other people? Can you affect yourself? Yeah, 100%. But do you think you're affecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who owns billions and billions of stars? Who knows how many planets? Trillions of stars, right? The whole universe. You think that's mamash going to affect him? In tzedakta. And even if you do good, matitinla, what are you giving to God? O mami yotcho yikach. What do you even take from your hand? You think you're going to be able to give a gift to God? Think it's going to help? So I'm asking you, Iyov, and I'm asking you like a rhetorical question. What's the point of doing good or bad anyway? Right? Is it for God? Is that what you're doing it for? Do you think it's there? Says no. Li'ish kamocha rishacha. Your sins are only for people like you. They affect people like you, people around you. And your righteousness also. It only affects good things around him. Right? Your sins might harm you. They might sully you. They might be like tainted food or poison that might make you sick. Right? You might harm mankind. Right? So too with a mitzvah, you might bring righteousness to the world. You might bring great things to yourself. You might bring things out there. Mirov ashukim yaziku. Because of all the oppressed things that are happening in the world, they cry out, Yeshavu Mizua Rabin. They plead for help because of the arm of the powerful that are out there over there. The Lo'amar and does not say, Ayeh Eloah Osoy, where is God, the one that made me? Nosin Zmiros Belaila, right? That giving me the ability to sing at night. And here's his point of view. There are many other people besides you who suffer oppression. If you think you're the only guy that's suffering right now, you're absolutely not right. There are people who have pain, suffering, exploitation. Again, granted, you're going through a tremendous amount of Yisurin. There are people who are, we know it in our world, who are slaves and locked up in tiny little houses, right, by evil men that are exploiting them for their body or for whatever it is. And we know this, right? There are people that are living horrible, horrible lives, not able to see the light of day, right, being horribly whatever. Time after time again, you think you're the only one suffering? You think you're the only one going through all this stuff? It says to him, right? There are other people that are going through this stuff. And those people, many of them, will never say, where is God? They don't have a question of where God is. They accept what things are.
I mean, Eov went from one extreme to another extreme, and sometimes it might be the perspective of the individual. Some people might have such a horrible life, mm-hmm. but they really don't know what to compare it to.
So there is a book called City of Joy. It's about the lepers of Calcutta in India, where they went through, this guy went through and he saw, he felt that the happiest people in the world were these people in this leper colony in the middle of India. That one guy was like smiling this huge smile one morning. He was like dragging himself through because he had no arms and no legs. He had just little stumps and he was dragging himself on the ground. He had this massive smile turned up to this, you know, white guy who was, you know, coming there from a privileged background or whatever it is. And he said, what are you smiling for? And he said, what is there not to smile about? It's a beautiful day. It's the craziest thing. Yes, in that way, they don't know, so to speak. Or maybe they know a little bit more than we do. Maybe there's a happiness there that we just don't fully get.
Or a different perspective they can appreciate a little
things other people do. And that's that. So he looks at you and he says, you don't think there are people that are oppressed? There could be people that mamish have it so bad, but they accept, they know what they have, and they say, they give over their smears at night. They say, and they go around, and they do what they can. Who knows? Who absolutely knows? All right, we'll stop with this for right now, but we'll talk about this a little